Hi, I'm Dr. Patricia Grabarek.
And I'm Dr. Katina Sawyer, and welcome to Thriving at Work, a Worker Being podcast.
You can learn more about us on our website, workerbeing.com, or on social media. You can follow along with us on LinkedIn, and we also have a link to subscribe to our newsletter if you want to hear from us and get updates directly to your inbox. So today, we're going to be talking about air pollution and leader behavior. It's kind of a different topic because it's like external factors, but I'm really excited about it, Katina.
I'm excited too. I never thought about leaders and air pollution, but yeah. I imagine that their relationship will be interesting because, yeah, the environment matters. And to know that it matters in a different way that I never thought of is kind of exciting and probably going to be depressing at some point too, but we'll wait for that.
Yeah, the depressing piece is likely going to be true, but we'll see. We'll see if I can make it a little bit less depressing with some good takeaways.
Awesome.
But before we dive into that, I did want to share a question that I had for you. I wanted to see your thoughts on this question. And basically what I want to understand is your experience with air pollution. So like, have you ever been in a situation or a place where there's really bad air pollution? And then like, if you can put yourself back into that space for a moment and think about the impact it had on you and like kind of describe that.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely any experiences that I've had in like big cities, the air pollution is way worse than where I am now in Tucson, where we have pretty low air pollution, which is nice. But I'm thinking of the experience that I'm thinking of is like so random, but I stayed in a hotel once. Actually, it was last year at a conference. I stayed at a hotel in Albuquerque and they were having some sort of issue with their pipes. This is what they told me. They were having some sort of issue with their pipes. They said they got the pipes cleaned or something and it like unlodged like bad smells all throughout the hotel. And they said, and I mean, it is air pollution. It's like there was something in the air that was like gross. And it actually did have like, well, I think two things. One, it had an impact on our ability at the conference to like focus and concentrate because the whole time we were having the conference, it just had like an odd odor. And it was like an odd odor, so it was sort of distracting. But it also like we didn't really know what it was, so it was sort of distressing because we were like, should we be breathing this? Like, is this okay? Is the hotel gonna like blow up? Like it didn't smell like something you should be breathing, and it also smelled slightly like something like if you lit a match, like something bad could happen. We were trying to figure out what was going on, and they ultimately ended up resolving it throughout like most of the hotel, but on some floors of the hotel they didn't. And so in my hotel room was one of the floors where they didn't resolve it. So like all night I was breathing this air and just like wondering if I was going to develop some like, I don't know, disease. So I would say the impact that it had on me compared to being in like non-polluted air would be that it was kind of stressful and distracting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's totally aligned with what we're going to talk about today. And I do remember you telling me that story and how stressed out you were about it.
Yes.
It's so awful. Like, I feel like they should send you to a different hotel. Like, that just seems so shady. Ugh, I don't like
it. Yeah. And also, I don't know. Is it like, have you ever been to a place where they're like, oh, sorry, like, just cleaned our pipes? Like, what does that mean? I don't like they said it and I was like, oh, okay. And then when I walked away from it, I thought to myself, what? Like, I've never heard of anywhere doing that before. Is that a normal thing to do?
You've traveled a ton. Like, I feel like for people, I've traveled a lot for work. Like, I feel like we would have heard that before if it was a normal thing. It doesn't sound like it was.
And also, like, it's not like you're like, oh, sorry, like, our house is going to smell for a week. We had to get our pipes clean. Like, it's our annual pipe cleaning. Like, you don't hear it in other types of buildings either. So you're like,
no,
I'm a little confused. Anyway, so that's mine. Yeah. What is your experience?
That is a very weird one. So I have a couple. So like one was I went to Hong Kong in the winter, which I didn't know that December was like a bad, potentially a bad time for pollution, but that's mm-hmm. what I heard when I got there. And I mean, you could see it for one, like the air quality was really bad, but then I felt so miserable. And it wasn't just like the time change was one thing. So I know there was like a lot of factors that were making me feel kind of tired or whatever, but the big problem was that when we'd be out all day and coming back, it's like by the time that we were done for the day, which was way earlier than I think it would have been if it wasn't so polluted, was because I could feel it in my eyes. Like my throat hurt, mm-hmm. my voice was scratchy, and my eyes were on fire. And my eyes tend to be kind of sensitive to like weird things in the air anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like bad. I had to get drops. I was like constantly putting in eye drops when I was in Hong Kong. We're only there for like 2 nights, but it was a lot. It was too much for me. So that was one. And I just felt like the impact, like I said, physically I could feel it. And then yeah. it also cut some of our time short. Like I was not willing to be out as much as I probably would have been otherwise.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I could think of is there's multiple experiences, but like California, a lot of wildfires over my lifetime. So there'd be days when there'd be fires nearby and the air quality is really bad. And there's like all these alerts and like close your windows and like not to, you know, go outside that much if you can avoid it. Like all this stuff, all these messages that we'd get like from the government on like mm-hmm. the air quality. And those times I feel like it just, yeah, like you said, it was like stressful. Cause like, even though I wasn't necessarily experiencing, cause I would stay home. And I was able to mostly stay away from it. Mm-hmm. It just like this like other thing to manage was stressful. You know, there's obviously like the fear component, like how long is this going to last? Is it going to impact the air quality? And I mean, there's other things around fire that are fearful or fear causing, but, that is one piece, right? It's like, how long are we going to be in this situation? And then of course my brain always goes to all the animals and I'm like, oh, are the animals going to be okay out there? And I get really sad. So that happens too.
Yeah. I feel like because a lot of yours has to do with like health concerns and physical health concerns and feeling gross and being scared that other, you know, living things will feel gross. And that's another good point. My example did not include it. I also have like weird reactions to things in the air. My eyes get itchy and I have trouble breathing and whatever. And that's also distracting and like makes you feel like, obviously, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. I don't need to tell people that if you don't feel well, it's not fun.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm excited to hear what the article has to say about it, because I think basically we've outlined that it has an impact, but I never really thought about it and how it might intersect with work, which is like so wild.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's how I felt when I saw this article. I was like, oh yeah, like this probably has an impact, but I haven't thought about it before.
Right.
So I was excited to see this article and we can talk about it a little bit. So I'll start with a couple of takeaways. And when we're thinking about this paper, like we talked about the health stuff, like that is obviously there, but this study is really looking kind of more narrowly, like day to day and like a daily diary type approach. So the takeaways are kind of even, I would say, in some ways, smaller scale, right? It's not like your lungs are destroyed from like one day of something, but super impactful in the workplace from smaller scale impact versus, I mean, obviously longer term stuff would probably even more so. So I think that's super interesting.
Yeah, that is very, very interesting.
Yeah. So takeaway one. Air pollution can impact a person's mood. So that's first thing, right? Your employees, your leaders, they're going to have their mood impacted when there's bad air quality. And then for leaders, when takeaway two and three is kind of combined, when pollution feels high, like when they're self-reporting, like leaders are self-reporting that pollution is high, they're more likely to either disconnect and avoid leadership tasks. Or takeaway three, they're actually seen as more abusive by their employees. So they kind of have this disconnect or more like conflict focused reaction
Gotcha. Okay. So that's very interesting. So I'm wondering, do they get into what predicts like who has which reaction? Like, is there something about the person that makes them either more drawn mm-hmm. towards this like disconnecting or being like super micromanaging, which it sounds like they're saying? I'd be curious to hear about that if they did. But it's just like the first thing I thought of is like, oh, which one? How do you know which one you're going to go towards?
Yeah, it's really interesting because they didn't talk about it in a lot of depth, and it seemed like there were some within person differences, like you said, but like what predicted that they didn't measure. So we don't know why some people lean towards one or the other. Mm-hmm. But all of this research kind of ties back to like stress research. And if you think about stress research, everyone's heard fight or flight, right? That's mm-hmm. like a really common lingo around stress that people talk about. And that's exactly what you're seeing when you look at these two different behaviors that happen. So sometimes leaders want to fight. They're more confrontational. They're more hostile, a little more aggressive. And that leads to like abusive supervisory behaviors, which include things like, you know, making fun of somebody in the team or starting an argument mm-hmm. with a team member, like not, you know, somebody disagrees with them and they just make an argument for no reason. So kind of those like more abusive and negative behaviors would be more in that fight category, like mm-hmm. this confrontational response.
Yeah.
And then there's the avoidant response, the flight, which is more of the withdrawing. And this gets to, which you'll know the term, but like laissez-faire leadership. So more like I'm just going to check out. I'm not really going to be involved. You know, if you mm-hmm. have something you need to escalate, I'm not showing up for that. You escalate it yourself. Yeah. I don't want to deal with it. So truly you're seeing fight or flight happening here. I actually was surprised mm-hmm. I didn't use that lingo in the article. I was like, this is what we're seeing, fight or flight. Yeah. Why are we saying that?
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I wonder if also, I mean, I want you to talk about the findings, but I'm just like speculating on this because I could imagine if you're a person who has like a physical reaction to the air quality, like if my eyes are like itchy and my nose is running, whatever, I might be more likely to be like, almost like I would react when I'm sick, like, ugh, like I don't want to do any, I don't feel good. I feel tired. Like, ugh, I don't even want to really be working right now. So like, whatever. But if it's like more stressful to me, but like I'm not having like physical experience or something like that, it might just make me like hyper, like on edge, and I might be more like snappy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you say that because what they found, and this is a small study, so I think there's, you know, and the first time this is being looked at, so I think there's a lot of room for us to understand this phenomenon a bit better, but they actually found a little bit different of what you said. So they looked at, you know, air pollution appraisals. So I'll give some context. The study was actually done in India because of a lot of the reason was because of air quality differences within that one country. There's a lot of cities with really bad air quality, but there's a lot of places that don't have that same problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's across all these different places in India. And they worked with organizations where the leaders and the employees were distributed. So it's not that, you know, the employee and the leader are both experiencing bad air quality at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really that what they were trying to see is like, if the leader is experiencing the bad air quality, are the employees receiving these negative behaviors regardless of where they are? So it's not like I'm also in bad air quality and I'm also snippy and we're both creating a problem.
Yeah.
It's more
got
of
it.
I want to see the leader is creating the issue because of the air quality. So that's one thing to mm-hmm. note.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, because everybody's in the same environment, but they're sort of interested on like how it's impacting people with greater influences, actions.
Exactly.
And how people perceive
exactly.
them. Okay, got it.
Yep. So people are all over the place. They're doing this study. They're controlling for some things around air pollution just to kind of make sure that, you know, what's the objective number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
But really the intent here is to understand, like, if I feel like the air was bad today, you know, then
mm-hmm.
how does that impact my reactions? So they found that just if I feel like air pollution is really high, I'm going to be more likely to be abusive as a supervisor And I'm also more likely to do this laissez-faire thing. So trying to avoid getting involved. And I'm also more likely to start those arguments, right? So I could be doing both of those things. Air pollution is just related to do those behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And like you're saying, that's perceptions of those behaviors, right? So the followers are saying this person was more abusive to me today. And this person was more removed from me today.
Mm-hmm.
That it's really like in the eye of the beholder. So like you're saying, it could also be like they're in a bad mood when they're filling it out too. But I don't know if they controlled for affect or not, but like, but that's also kind of interesting, right? Like maybe everybody's just like irritable.
Yeah. Well, they controlled for their pollution appraisals as a follower. Mm-hmm. So if I'm saying the pollution's really bad, you know, they're controlling for that. And they controlled for daily objective air pollution for the followers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they controlled for things like workload, commute.
Got it.
So they were trying to control for a few different things there. Yeah. But one thing that, so just kind of long, like the high level piece here is like pollution, bad air quality leads to leaders kind of being bad, like not doing good things. And this is related to other research, like not in this space, not around work, but just in general around air pollution, that people have found that air pollution tends to predict unethical behaviors. And that's due to people's anxiety. So like people are just kind of more likely to not behave their best because they're dealing with the physical, mental stressors of the air quality. So that's just across the board. And so we're seeing that here in the workplace, that leaders are exhibiting that. But you were talking about earlier around, maybe if I feel physically sick, then I'm going to be more removed because I just don't feel good. I don't want to do anything. Those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
What was interesting is they looked at, okay, so we've got air pollution. Does it make people feel worse, like their negative mood? Does it make them feel more complaints around the physical stuff, like we talked about, difficulty breathing, eyes, irritation, coughing, etc.? So
they actually measured that, you're saying? Like they asked people what their experiences were in response to it. So some of the stuff, like in our stories that we shared, we brought in some of those things. So they were kind of trying to also capture like, okay, and what's related to that or what's your reaction to it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. So, and that's where I kind of want to go with what you were talking about, because it's a little bit counterintuitive in some ways. So it's like, we know air pollution makes leaders behave badly. Let's find out why. Is it because they are in a bad mood, or is it because they have these physical problems?
Mm-hmm.
So bad mood is related to both the like fight and flight. So we see that if there's bad air pollution, I get put in a bad mood. I'm now more likely to, you know, kind of start fights, pick fights with people, be mean. And I'm also more likely to check out and not try to do the work, right? I don't want to help you. I'm not doing that today.
Okay.
But the physical stuff is different. So basically with the physical piece, if I'm complaining that my eyes are itchy or hurt and my coughing, whatever, because of the air pollution, right? We know air pollution leads to those complaints. That was found here. But it only predicts the abusive behavior and not the disconnecting withdrawal behavior like you thought.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
They probably have reasons in there. I always think like when I don't feel well, I just want to like go away and lay down. But maybe some people get like frustrated that they can't do that because they're still at work and they have to be doing stuff. And so they're like irritated, and any kind of requests or interactions they have are just going to be like driven by the fact that they don't want to be having them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. They don't have like a ton of explanation around it, right? They just kind of have some thoughts and theories. But to your point, I think there's like that, you know, they talk a lot about self-control, and you're feeling awful physically. Your self-control is going to be lower because you're basically kind of monitoring how you feel like the entire day, right? With this air pollution issue. So then you're probably going to be more likely to be a little bit on edge and snipping and being rude. Yeah. The disconnection though, like that was a kind of a surprise, right? Like I think most people would think that would be like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't care.
Yeah.
But right. It seems like that's at least in this study. Again, it's first time really looking at this. Maybe if we looked at it again, that might find things a little bit different. Like, so I think there needs to be some application here, but overall, like, you know, the story just remains pollution.
Yeah.
Equals bad equals yeah, people being right. bad.
Yeah. Which is super interesting. And I mean, could be a reason for organizations to advocate for better environmental protections, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah,
I so many times it requires a business case for people to get on board with this kind of stuff. And so if there's a business case to be made, I feel like that's impactful for organizations to know.
100%. Like, I think the big takeaway, so anyone that's listening that has, you know, seniority in an organization around how you do business from like a sustainability perspective, like this just points to not only is it important for the environment and for the community and for the world for you to do business in a way that's sustainable and not polluting, but mm-hmm. it actually can impact your bottom line and the productivity of your teams. Because if you're going to have leaders that are running around and being awful to employees, employees are going to not do well. And it's just going to create this huge trickle down of bad behavior and poor performance. So I think mm-hmm. it's super important to think about it that way too. It's like, if I make this area more polluted, I'm actually hurting my employees as well. Not just
right.
like the world and the environment, which you should care about, but you know.
Yeah. Might want to care about that anyway, but I do think that that's like a really good piece of information to have, because even if you have a very stubborn person who only cares about money and efficiency, I never heard like a really good business case for air quality. And also, I mean, air quality can be like the city or the place that you live in, but it also can be the air quality in your office building if you have people working in a physical location. So if you think about people who work in like warehouses or manufacturing plants, recognizing that the way that you expose or don't expose people to cleaner air or take every step that you can to make it as clean as possible also makes a difference for the business too. I think that's a really important takeaway. Yeah.
I think that's a really great point, because it's not just the city. It's also, like you said, the environment that people are working in. But a lot of times, you know, if you have a manufacturing plant, it's like kind of both, because people in manufacturing, like what's being put in the air within the actual plant itself, but then outside of the plant, that's you have control over some pollution too, which can impact the whole city, which can impact families. Mm-hmm. You know, it impacts everybody. So how you can minimize the pollution that the company emits, I think could be really helpful and important for the productivity of the organization as a whole. So I think that's a huge piece. But then they actually provided a couple of ideas, like smaller term ideas on how to help leaders and really employees in general kind of manage through bad air quality. And I think some of them are helpful.
Yeah, awesome. Let's hear them.
Yeah. So one, I think, just makes sense is like policies for flexibility and working from home to avoid commutes that have a lot of pollution. So I mentioned like the fires where they tell you like, don't leave your house if you don't have to, like something like that, right? If there's a really bad day for air quality, like we know it depends on winds and all sorts of different things, time of year, et cetera. Like maybe there's ways to be more flexible. Maybe there's ways for people to maybe have a shift in hours, because if they commute 3 hours later into the office and leave 3 hours later, they are avoiding rush hour, so not commuting outside as long. Like anything like that, I think could be very helpful. Just giving that flexibility and allowing work from home when possible.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, we know that it works, that people can work from home. So if you're in a hybrid setup, or even if you've gone back into the office, like, there can be times where you can issue something company-wide and say, don't come in today because there's something going on in the environment. And, you know, people know how to make that work now. So hopefully it's less of a less of an issue.
And honestly, it kind of has an added bonus of not contributing to that pollution that day, right? So if you're able to keep as many people home as possible on a day where the air quality is bad, like, you might actually help the problem, like, alleviate itself a bit better, because you're not, if, especially if you're a really big company, you know, if you have thousands of people commuting and they all stay home during that period of time, you would hope the quality of air would start to kind of get better, at least for a bit.
Totally.
So there's that. They also mentioned things like providing, making sure there's paid sick leave that can cover things like air pollution sickness. So people obviously get ill from it, don't feel well. If a leader is having a major somatic reaction, they're having some sort of physical reaction, or not just a leader, anybody, then giving them the opportunity to take that day off is obviously going to reduce their odds of doing any of these bad leader behaviors, and will hopefully keep the culture of the team intact while the leader just takes a day off.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, and you know, like, it's kind of interesting because it's almost like a preemptive, it's like something's making you sick or something's making you off, but like, you're not going to feel that way until you get to the place. You know what I mean? Like, if there's something or like the more you, so it's kind of like helping, it's like an avoidant sick day. Like, you will feel sick if you, this will make you sick, so don't engage in it, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, some sort of, exactly, like, avoidant sick day, if you want to call it that, or something, especially for people that are more sensitive, like, just giving them that flexibility to take the day if they need to, I think is huge.
Yeah.
And then the final thing they recommended is providing masks and air purifiers, which is actually not a huge ask. So if you are in a place that people have to come in, give the mask so that they can, you know, have some on hand when they commute, purify the air around you, maybe you can even give people air purifiers for their own homes, right? Something so that people can have the ability to protect themselves from the exposure as much as they can.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Like, why not? And that's an easy fix. And if you can't, because I would imagine that there's some environments where you're doing everything that OSHA, you know, would recommend to be able to, you know, be compliant with air quality and health and safety standards, but it's still not ideal. And maybe there's some things that you could do, but it also is the case that maybe you can't do everything. It's always going to be like that. So, that might be, you know, a good option just to give people something that, you know, will help to mitigate that.
Mm-hmm. And if you're like, you're right, like, in the specific plant or location you're in, but also like, there's like the city or town or area, like, might just be a place that cycles through bad air. And again, there's like organizational changes, like much bigger changes that companies can do to reduce pollution in general. But in the meantime, or if you're not one of those types of companies, you know, people are still living and commuting in that space. So, like, why don't we give options to support them? And if they, you know, we can't always have everyone at home all the time, like, giving masks is actually kind of cheap. Like, it's not that expensive to just provide masks to people all the time.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I really, really like that idea. This is really interesting and something I think most people have not thought about and could think about. And I'm sure there are like tools to measure your air quality. So you might want to invest in one of those regardless of the workplace that you have, just to see like what's the air quality like in the place that you're in. And is there a cause for concern? And if there is, there are things that you might do to make it better.
Definitely. Yeah, there's definitely tools you can have within a building. You know, air purifiers often tell you what the pollution level is before you turn them on, right? So that's even a simple thing, two things in one tool. It gives you the reading and it then helps to clean it. But then, you know, there's all sorts of air quality metrics out there that like different weather services provide. So you can always monitor the area you're in physically too. Like, what is that city? What does the neighborhood look like? And how can we make sure that we're taking care of people so that they're not, one, for their health and well-being, but two, so they're not bringing in the like stress associated with this kind of physical harm and discomfort into the workplace, so they can actually take that stress, put it aside, and like come in and be productive and not awful to other people.
Yeah, that sounds great. I think that this is a really important article and definitely made me think about an aspect of workplace wellness that I hadn't thought about before.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm so glad I was able to share it. I'm excited to see other research. I'm sure there's other things that can be looked at, water pollution, et cetera, different environmental factors that can impact people's behaviors in the workplace. So I'm excited to see more of this work continue and hopefully able to create a stronger case for organizations to make climate impacts and really help reduce pollution for our world overall. But I'm glad I was able to share this today. So thank you for listening.
Yes. Thank you for talking about this awesome article.
Of course. For all of our listeners, you know how to find us. If you have any questions, email us at contact@workerbeing.com. You can sign up for our newsletter to get our updates. And then we also are on social, so please follow along, especially on LinkedIn, if you want to hear what's going on with us. Thanks for listening. Thriving at Work, a Worker Being podcast, is hosted by us, Dr. Patricia Grabarek and Dr. Katina Sawyer, and produced by Allie Johnson.